And now it's time for our revolutionary new experiment in radio.
This is WBCN in Boston.
I'm gonna tell you a story.
So begins a documentary about Boston's WBCN radio, a 40-plus year fixture on the New England airwaves. Rock radio is fading out in many cities around the country. Last month, WAAF, another rock station in Massachusetts, was sold and abruptly changed its format after 50 years. It's been more than a decade since WBCN left the air. Both stations were widely heard in New Hampshire. We could focus on the demise, but Bill Lichtenstein, a filmmaker and one-time Rock of Boston staffer, decided to tell the story of the beginning of WBCN. He started there back in 1968 as a 14-year-old kid answering the station's listener line.
People were told, call with anything, questions, your roommate's having a bad acid trip, whatever, and we'll be happy to try to help you. And so I started answering the listener line. I was one of a number of young people that were recruited to do that.
And I know you eventually moved into the news department. The film focuses a lot of attention on the news aspect of the station. And I think most listeners thought of BCN as, you know, this progressive music outlet. What kind of news reporting were you doing back in the early 70s?
It's sort of hard to imagine in the days before the internet for younger people or to remember what it was like. But really, you know, if something happened, if there was a demonstration or some kind of a contentious situation with the police and protesters, to find out what happened was often difficult because there weren't that many sources of news. There was in Boston, the Boston Globe or sort of the straight newspapers and the evening newscasts. But BCN tried to really report the news from the perspective of those trying to create change. And pretty quickly, they assembled what was probably, one of the most radical news departments in the country. Danny Schechter was there. Andy Kopkine, who had been at Time Magazine and later at The New Republic, was there. You know, it was really trying to cover the news, what was going on, in a way that was relevant to the young people listening to the station.
Yeah, there were other so-called underground stations around the country getting going at that time: San Francisco, L.A., New York City. What made WBCN in Boston unique?
Well, it really started in San Francisco with KSAN. They got the idea that you could also play rock on FM, which was a perfectly good idea. And that started it. But they hired professional announcers. New York had WNEW, but again, it was a commercial station, professional announcers. What made BCN really different was the fact that the people who were recruited were all young people, students from colleges. And there was this tremendous freedom to say what you want, play what you want. And really, the 60s sort of took off, the radicalization of the 60s, as we know it, took off, you know, in Boston during that period.
The documentary does bring up the issue of women on the air, which was a rarity in those days, and also briefly mentions the gay rights movement. Again, not a mainstream subject at the time. Was BCN really a beacon, or was it still primarily a straight boys club?
I think BCN was a boys club without realizing it until it was made apparent that you don't have any women on the air, and that women who were very much fans of the station because it espoused a very radical pro-feminist perspective in all ways, simply didn't have women on the air. And in this one incident, which you mentioned in the film, it was a protest which led to the hiring of several women as announcers on the air, which really changed things. And I think, you know, young people today would be shocked at what an aberration it was to have a woman on the air. In fact, BCN was attacked by Jerry Williams. It's in the film, this conservative talk show host of note in Boston for many years, was ridiculed for putting women on the air. The argument being women have high-pitched voices and don't belong on radio. Same with the, you know, gay and lesbian liberation movement. It was something people were living. And so, the thought of putting on the radio was just sort of a logical one. It hadn't occurred to people that suddenly there would be this, you know, gay program on the radio, which really was a fairly dramatic departure from what was on the radio in those days.
Yeah, of course, there was a lot happening in rock music in the era. You know, speaking of female DJs, I remember listening to Maxine back in the day talking about Aerosmith. She really championed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she really kind of brought them to the forefront. The documentary features some archival sound and film from a very young Bruce Springsteen and Aerosmith, Patti Smith, a station that really made artists. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think especially compared with today, where so much of radio is programmed, you know, by a few conglomerates. Like iHeartRadio controls sort of the music that's heard on hundreds of stations throughout the country. You know, BCN really saw itself as championing the artists who were either coming to Boston to play for what were in those days 250,000 college students. So a lot of artists came through here, or artists who were coming up in Boston. And, you know, there was a sense of we wanted people to succeed. Why wouldn't we? And so bands like Aerosmith, bands like The Cars, who were from Boston. Peter Wolf was an announcer on BCN before he was the lead singer of the Jay Giles Band.
Right.
And so these were groups we played not just because it was convenient, or, you know, we really wanted to support the local music community. And I think it was a much different way of artists, you know, coming up through the system, whereas today it's much more about trying to come up with a, you know, a YouTube viral video. In those days, it really was about going out and attracting an audience and, you know, honing your craft. And then BCN's airplay went a long way to put people on the map.
Stations that were more tightly programmed did have bigger audiences, though. Isn't that what people wanted?
I would say yes. I would say, you know, at some point, what made BCN BCN, you know, was sort of copied and was replicated. But at the same time, I can't think of many stations that 50 years later have the kind of intense, you know, fan, you know, that means so much to so many people. BCN, I think, really meant so much to so many people because it was fearless and courageous, and I think told it like it was, as we used to say in those days.
Bill Lichtenstein is joined us by Skype. He is the filmmaker behind WBCN and the American Revolution. It is currently showing at the Flying Monkey Movie House in Plymouth through Thursday. It is Morning Edition from NHPR.